We're in Psalm 103, but I'm going to ask you if you'll turn in your hymnal to 71. And I'm going to get your help in reminding us what we were. It's our third and final sermon from Psalm 103. With everyone and then men and women in different spots here, I'm going to let you help me with our reading the whole thing. And then I'm going to preach from verses 15 to 22. So if you'll help me here on page 71, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him.
For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And so we return to Psalm 103. Again, I'm following up 103 from I had preached 104 as our first psalm, our sort of sermon to start the year, sort of a companion to Psalm 103. And so we have studied together these last couple of weeks the greatness of God, his benefits, his benefits that he offers to us to receive by faith. The benefactor and his benefits. We talked last week, his depth, the depth, height, width, and breadth of God's love for us. And so we continue it today as we bring Psalm 103. Consider the last words that bring us to the conclusion. Friends, we are reminded immediately as we get in. Again, I'm in verses 15 and following now. As we conclude, we've just been told how God is so gracious to know that we're but dust. We're created. And then he goes a little further. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind passes over it. It's gone. Its place knows it no more. The brevity of human life. We have to be reminded of that sometimes. Some of you, you know that. You've experienced that in those you love. Some of you have dealt with, and all of us in various ways, but the afflictions this life brings. But the psalmist here, in this case it's David, is reflecting on that. And he uses a biblical image that's used everywhere. And I want to just kind of press this home for a moment. The brevity of human life. Moses, so let's go back to earlier to Moses, who God inspired to begin recording for us the revealed revelation of God, and his, as he wrote the first five books of the Bible, we have a psalm from Moses, Psalm 90, who hits on this theme, and we'll consider Psalm 90 sometime in the future. He's talking about the brevity of life of these people, the human beings, male and female God's made. He says, "You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers." So Moses spoke about that in his psalm. Isaiah would bring up this image in Isaiah 40, a chapter of Isaiah that where we begin proclaiming the good news that Isaiah, that we have a Savior would come. He says, "A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it." God's obviously his sovereign providential power. "Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." He tends to use these images when he's contrasting something. Grass, using us, and again, grass blooms, but then it fades, and it's gone. And it even uses sort of a 24-hour day. So we've had Moses, we have David here, and we had Isaiah. Jesus brings this up. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you," now listen here how he describes this, "even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." I pause there. He's not using grass as some sort of something that doesn't matter. He's using it as an image of something that comes and goes very quickly. At the height of its life, he's saying it's beautiful. "Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies." And then he says, but, Jesus now again in his sermon, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven." So he's saying it has a short life. It's beautiful in its time. And it comes and goes. And then we actually use it for fuel. And so Jesus finishes his image of it. If it's alive today and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So he's using this image and he's going to contrast it to what's about to come in verses, this is 15 and 6, and what comes in 17 and 18. But let's let it hit home for a moment. Our lives are short. And yet, we're to glorify God in the years that we have. Just like the flower glorifies God in its beauty as it just sits there. Sits there in the field, rising up to the sun, and then it goes away. The brevity of human life. So, just to, you know, in our prayer request, we saw that. Praying for folks who, according to medical diagnoses, have been told your life isn't just short. There's months, perhaps. We spoke of a friend and mentor, really, of mine, who knows outside of God's truly intervention, his life is, he's at the end of it. So let's stop and just ask, how do you live based on this knowledge? For one thing, we should say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. We have today. We have to glorify God in it. What's the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We're going to get to that in the next point, the forever. How do you live today? Just examine that. As a maybe a admonition, Are you holding grudges that maybe you ought not be holding? I remember in one of the previous congregations I served, there was some folks a person in the church would tell this story of one was a congregation member and one was a neighbor. And to be honest, I forget which one was holding the grudge, but one of their dogs had trampled the flowers, sticking with flowers, and had never forgiven, whichever it was, the neighbor had never, one of them had never forgiven the other for the dog trampling the flowers. We all have those. Now, we have much bigger things we have to forgive. Much bigger than that. Are you holding grudges you need to let go of? Because life is short. It's like a flower. It blooms one day and then it's gone. Let's cherish every moment as a gift from God. Let's glorify Him with every second we have. Now, I'm going to get to something. Again, I want you to know, I'm going to get in the second or third point as to that every one of our lives matters. Even though we think they don't, we think we're insignificant. We're not insignificant to God. But let's take this to heart. David tells us our days are short. But there's a contrast here too. Just like Jesus contrasted it with telling us we ought not worry. Because if God's willing to make a flower of the field grow like that, and He knows a sparrow doesn't fall outside of His knowledge, is He not going to care for us? Well, David's contrasting it to something too, and it sheds relief on it. We have the brevity of human life, but we also have the benefit of divine redemption. He says, but, verse 17, but, I'm in the ESV right now, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Steadfast love. The King James called it loving kindness and probably some other older translations. Loving kindness. The NIV probably says mercy. That's God's hesed. His covenant love that holds to us like glue that nothing can separate. His steadfast love, His mercy, His loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. His righteousness to children's children, to those who remember His covenant, who keep His covenant, and remember to do His commandments. So there, in contrast to our short life on earth, there's the eternality of God's covenant love. His love that we spoke about last week, its height, its depth, its breadth, its width, it's His covenant love. It's eternal. It's been there, and it always will be there. He has the love of God. No, it is to His people we have in view here. This is here to His, He's talking to His children here. Now, unbelievers should listen and should say, I want to be in that family. But He's talking to His people here. Because He's saying, those of you who are my people who are these people? Who is He talking to? Who is His steadfast love upon? Those who fear Him? Those who keep His covenant? Those who do His commandments? There's a reciprocal relationship here. It was in our first responsive reading. Between God's love and our response to that love. Between God's faithfulness to us and then our obedient response. Romans 5:8, God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's His covenant love. Then there's a response. And this is love, not that we have loved God. This is from 1 John 4. But that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. So we have the brevity of life, but we have the eternal, the everlasting to everlasting steadfast love of God, which I'm calling the benefit of divine redemption. When we receive, again, what is it? This is fearing God, keeping His covenant, doing His commandment. Keeping God's covenant is this, trusting in the finished work of Christ alone for your salvation. to be doing the works of God. Here's the work of God. Believe on him whom he has sent. But then it does tell us, though, he's given us some definitions, some descriptions, that we fear him. We have reverence for God. We come before him with trembling, as appropriately. We keep his covenant. We do his commandments. He said when he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, he says, I will be your God and you will be my people. And so he gives us his moral law to know what he expects of us, to know what it's like to live as his people. He gives us these, our covenant signs and seals, that of baptism and of the Lord's Supper, where we keep his covenant. That's how we keep his covenant, but believing in him and then living as those who believe in him. We trust in him. We repent when our sin comes before us. He writes his law in our hearts that we might obey. Our response to his love with obedient lives it shows the reality of his mercy, that we're those living in mercy, walking in fellowship. Now I want to apply this here before we, and our last two points are fairly short. I want to kind of bring some things together here for you. I want you to notice sort of some of the details here. Verses 17 and 18. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Do you ever feel like me sometimes? You know, who am I? Does my life really matter for much? Do I really count? Does what I do matter? You know what? He's saying here, it does. Those of you, when you fear him, he says, his righteousness. And his righteousness we can take in a number of ways. That's him being the one who will make things right. In a spiritual sense, that righteousness we receive by faith when Jesus takes our sins, it'll be to your children's children. That's your grandchildren. Nurturing those who will be his people. Leading, walking in coming generations. Now again, everyone isn't blessed with children, so some cases you have to apply this to another member of your family or a friend or to someone who God's placed in your life to influence. But the point here is this is within the covenant family. When you invest in your children, whatever their age, when you invest in your grandchildren, when you invest in your grandchildren, you're affecting coming generations for God's glory. And it could be that the fruit of that comes after your life or my life's passed away from this earth. Our lives might be short, but they're not insignificant. One commentator just put it like this: godly and prayerful parenting and grandparenting gives you a lasting contribution to the family of God and his kingdom. And so your life counts right now. I encourage you, don't waste it. Your life counts right now, every moment we have. And I need to know this myself so that I don't grow weary in well-doing in my own home. Life is brief, but we have remarkable benefits of divine redemption. And so he closes the psalm with a statement and then a blessing, the basis for the benefit. He kind of throws in here verse 19. I'm calling this the basis for the benefit. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. How remarkable that those of us whose life is like grass, like a flower that fades, Yet God's steadfast love is on us, and so because of that, we're able to be a part of this kingdom that rules over all. This is guaranteed. It isn't going to fail. This is the kingdom that rules over all kingdoms, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're talking about His providential rule. He rules His creation with absolute authority and power. Nothing happens beyond the scope of God's power and providence. Even all the little things we do, all the little ways that by God's grace you seek to influence those whom God puts in your path, whether within your own family or in other ways, our lives do count. Right now counts forever was R.C. Sproul's column in Table Talk. Right now counts forever. It does, because we're a part of God's kingdom. I want to mention something about the difference between God's providence and other ways we might talk about this. God's providence. You're part of God's providence for you. This is not fortune. Fortune is blind while God is all seeing. We don't follow fate. Fate is impersonal. Our lives might be short, but we're not in the hands of fate. Fate is impersonal. God is a father. And it's not luck. We're not lucky. Luck is dumb, but God can speak. We are in God's providence, based on His power, His character, His love, our lives count. His hesed, His covenant love, is from everlasting to everlasting. And so we can trust. We're part of the kingdom that will never fail. The throne that will last forever. And we'll reign with Him forever. And so David finally closes it with back to the blessing. Bless the Lord. He has a threefold blessing and then a kind of one more to finish it off. Bless the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. So bless the Lord, all the angels. Then 21, bless the Lord, all His hosts. That is the mighty armies of God who do His will. And then third, bless the Lord, all His works in all places. A threefold blessing. All the created order, the angels, the unseen armies of God, and then everything He's made that we can see. David says, all of you bless the Lord. Because He's made you, and He doesn't make mistakes. He makes everything for His own glory. And then he closes with a personal note once again. God isn't far away and distant. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And you can do the same. This marvelous God, whose kingdom will never fail, whose steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting, who pities His children, who casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, who crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. You can call on Him as your God. David gives us an example to come to Him personally. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then Jesus would fulfill this as He would come and dwell among us and bring that benefit of redemption to us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Our Father in heaven, I pray that You would apply to each of us according to Your will, Your word. Let us be those that indeed bring You blessing. Thank You for the forgiveness we have in Christ. Thank You for letting us, inviting us, securing us in a kingdom that will never fail. Do write Your word now upon the hearts of Your people. We thank You and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace. May he comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.